Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. It's Optimism Wednesday on Breakfast with Ken. We love Optimism Wednesday, a chance to look at only the positive of all of your favorite programs, including the Indianapolis Colts, who play the Buffalo Bills this Sunday. We need to look at reasons for optimism that the Colts are going to be able to beat the Bills, right? So let's do that. Like I said, this is Breakfast with Kent for Wednesday, November 17th, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry. Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best dentist in the world. Call him. Make him your dentist. Do what you need to do to keep your teeth and keep them healthy. 317-849-2933 is the number. Remember to subscribe, hit like, ring the bell. Let's go. Let's get optimistic about Indiana sports. Here are 10 reasons that the Indianapolis Colts are going to be able to beat the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, despite being 7.5-point dogs in this game, which is meaningless to me. Look, you don't play these games on paper. It's meaningful for investors. But in terms of deciding who's going to win this game, the spread means nothing. Statistics mean nothing. And it's a good thing that they don't, because if they did, we wouldn't be at all too optimistic for this Sunday. The Bills have a great defense. Let's not talk about good things about the Bills, though. Let's talk about the Colts. Here's reason number one. Colts, they, in regulation over the last seven games, they're 5-0-2. Now, granted, the two overtime games wound up being losses, but over the first 60 minutes of games in the last seven, Colts haven't lost one of them. That is a good thing. Carson Wentz, no picks in 8 of 10 games, completely clean. If you had told me that at the beginning of the season, I would have thought that the Colts' record would be better than 5-5. I really thought that Carson Wentz, his propensity for turning the ball over, was going to be deleterious to the hopes of the Colts to win and get to the playoffs, but it really hasn't been. Even throwing left-handed, he hasn't thrown a pick in a while, and that's a good thing. Got to stop doing that, please, for the love of God, Carson. I mean, I don't know what you got to do to be able to learn that lesson. Don't throw the ball left-handed, and no shovel passes under duress. Just don't do it. The gain is not worth the risk. The Bills, they have 5 turnovers in their last 2 games. This is important. They've thrown the ball to the opposition, and they've given it away to the opposition. When you do that, you tend to lose games. Against the Jaguars, they did it. This past week, they did it. If they continue to do that, the Colts are going to make them pay. The forecast is for a chance of rain in 48 degrees. That is much better than it could be in Buffalo on November 21st. It could be terrible. Lake effect, snow, just misery. Although Jonathan Taylor, I think, is uniquely positioned to have a good game in adverse weather conditions. Jonathan Taylor, by the way, we know this, over the course of his entire career with the Indianapolis Colts, which comprises 25 games. When he runs for 80 or better, the Colts are 11-0. When he doesn't run for 80 or better, the Colts, over the last calendar year, I think they're 0-7. So there you go. The defense for the Bills, only 19 sacks. Nobody on the Bills' defensive front has more than 3 sacks. Carson Wentz is averaging less than 2 a game. And this is kind of interesting. The first 2 games, Carson was sacked 3 times. The next 3 games, he was sacked, or in 2 games, he was sacked 4 times. He has been sacked 1 time each in each of the last 5 games. The protection's getting better, and Carson Wentz is finding a way to stay upright, get rid of the ball a little bit quicker, so he doesn't take the punishment that sacks kind of represent. The Colts' turnover percent per drive is only 7.3%. That's 4th in the NFL. Their opponents, 18.2%. That's 2nd in the NFL. Now, we know that turnover differential, these two teams rank at the top of the NFL. The Bills are number one, Colts are number two. Turnovers are going to play a significant role in this game, especially if the 40% chance of rain generates precipitation in Buffalo for this game. Jonathan Taylor is averaging 5.8 yards per carry. He has 1,240 yards from scrimmage on less than 20 touches per game. That is productive. That is efficient. That's a guy who can take it to the house. And against the Buffalo Bills, you need a back who can do that. Grinding it out against the Bills is not necessarily going to get it done. What you've got to do is find chunk plays. You've got to get them to turn the ball over in positive field position so you can generate points off that turnover. If you don't figure out how to steal a few points in this game, it is going to be really hard to win. But the Colts are really good at that. They're good at chunk plays running the football, and they're good at turning people over. The Jags held the Bills to 6 points. The Colts scored 17 in the first quarter. I don't really think that's germane, but to get 10 reasons to feel optimistic about this game, we had to dig a little bit. So we dug, and we found that nugget. The Colts' backs are against the wall. This is the most important game of the season for the Colts because it's the next one. They keep saying that. They've got to focus on 1-0 this week. This is what they focus on. Good morning, Neil. This is what they focus on. 1-0 this week. Well, that's what you have to do when you're 0-3. You start the season 0-3. You got to figure out how to that next game is critically important to your playoff hopes. Only six teams in the history of the NFL have started 0-3 and gotten to the playoffs. The Colts want to become the seventh. The Colts would be the second team in the last 22 years to get to the playoffs after starting 0-3, the Houston Texans in 2018, the only other one. Good morning, Kiwis Big Adventure. The Bills have 2 games left against the Pats. They have a game next week against the Saints. They have a game in New Orleans, and they got a game at Tampa Bay, all those within the next month and a week. Those are important games. The Bills right now are 6-3. As they look at the Colts at home, they say, you know what? Of all these games coming up, except that game against the Panthers, this one, like, are they really thinking this next game is the most important? They're 6-3. They sit atop their division. They got 2 games coming up against the Patriots, who are only a half game back. I think maybe the Bills overlook the Colts this weekend. That'd be silly, but I think that they will. I think the Colts win this game. It's Wednesday. It's Optimism Wednesday. We're not allowed to think differently. So we're not going to talk to Ivan O'Idle about this game today. And we're not going to think negative thoughts. Only positive thoughts about the Colts today. Colts are going to win on Sunday. If I can screw myself into believing that the Colts are going to win by kickoff on Sunday, that'll be a hell of a feat. I normally get a little bit pessimistic about beating really good teams on the road. Hard Knocks starts tonight. That's going to be interesting as hell. There are going to be nuggets in this thing. There, you know, we know what HBO does as they produce Hard Knocks. It's a nice chance. We like to get, this is what they say, we like to get a look at the families, right? We get a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff with Carson Wentz and DeForest Buckner and their families and what they do in the community, and isn't it wonderful and blah, 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 all that crap that we don't watch for. What we watch for are chinks in the armor. What we watch for are odd things that happen, right, between Frank Reich and the players, Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, Jim Irsay and anybody. We're looking for the weird, and HBO is going to provide it because that's why people watch. If you put on kind of a documentary series about an NFL team and their community outreach, you know how many people would watch? None. Zero. Nobody wants to watch it. To sprinkle that in with some dysfunction behind the scenes, we like that. We're going to watch that. We're going to see where the dysfunction lies with this within this organization. Or people simply aren't going to watch, and HBO is not in business to not have people watch. Great news for Indiana. Don't need to stretch. to say how good a piece of news this is on Optimism Wednesday. Gabe Copps from Centerville, Ohio, pledged Hoosiers last night with Jeff Rabjohns in an interview on 24/7 Sports, part of the Rivals Network. Gabe Copps is going to be terrific in Bloomington. Gabe Copps, his high school team won a state championship last year. His dad's a coach. He's kind of a hybrid, maybe, if you look at Ohio kids, between Aaron Kraft and Jay Burson. Highly competitive, a really pesky defender, a guy that Indiana fans would love to hate if he played for Ohio State. He picked Indiana over Ohio State, Michigan, and Stanford. This is a kid who can play. And with Ja'Kai Newton, he comprises a really good recruiting class so far for the Hoosiers in the class of 23. Good for Mike Woodson. Everybody down in Bloomington, congratulations on getting a kid who is really going to be a thorn in the side of Big Ten competition for a long time once he gets to Bloomington in the fall of 2023. IU's first real test tonight against St. John's in the Gavitt Games. That's going to be fascinating. Simon Scott Assembly Hall tonight. Of course, Indiana looked like a team that would win the MAC. They're supposed to, as they beat Eastern Michigan and Northern Illinois. Tonight, they go against the Big East, a team in St. John's that won their first two games pretty easily also. We'll see what happens as they face their first test. Butler also facing their first test. Tom Izzo and Sparty coming to town. They're going to play at Hinkle Fieldhouse tonight, not too far south of here, about 5 miles south and a little bit west of here. Love Hinkle Fieldhouse. That game at 7, IU at 9, both games on Fox Sports 1. Purdue, a rout last night. They beat Wright State 96-52. Trevion Williams with 20 points in 20 minutes. Picked up a technical late. I thought he kind of stepped on a kid's head. I don't know whether he did or not. I like the mean streak. What are you going to do? Caleb First, man, watching him play for the Boilermakers, this is that guy. He in high school, when I saw him as a sophomore, I thought, oh, he's going to Purdue. There's no way a kid who looks like that isn't going to Purdue. Last night, he really looked like he fits at Purdue just as prescribed. And so Caleb First, for Indiana fans, going to be a big pain in the ass for 4 years if he stays 4 years. I love the way Purdue plays basketball. They seem like a team that culture is built and it is strong. They go to the bench and go pull a guy in like Brandon Newman. Newman goes 5-for-7 from beyond the arc, scores 15 points. Really, really good stuff from the Boilermakers last night. They are a really good basketball team. Indiana's going to be fortunate to beat Purdue once this year. We'll see. Caleb First is a freshman, goes 14-11. I know it was against Wright State, but holy cow, does he look good. Pacers at Detroit tonight. That game on Bally Sports, I'm not too psyched about that one. I think that the Pacers are going to win that one. Of course, it's Optimism Wednesday, so of course I think that. College football playoff standings released last night. No changes in the top 7. Notre Dame moves up to number 8. A lot of things are going to have to happen for Notre Dame to make the college football playoff. They need to win out. And they should. They've got Georgia Tech and Stanford left. Michigan State, ranked 7th, needs to beat Ohio State this weekend and lose to Penn State the following week. Maryland needs to beat Michigan. Michigan needs to beat Ohio State. And then Notre Dame can ascend into that top 4. Otherwise, they got problems. Cincinnati is not going to be in the top 4. I don't care what happens, because this is a TV show. The college football playoff needs to generate television ratings from the networks that carry those games. Cincinnati is not going to provide ratings. This, in the end, is a media event, and it's a business. And the networks carrying these games are not going to allow the college football playoff committee to send Cincinnati into what is an event that they spend a lot of money to carry. It's just not going to happen. Let's celebrate some birthdays. That's dour news. Non-optimistic news on Optimism Wednesday for the Cincinnati Bearcats, but who gives a damn? Who cares? Cincinnati, that's how irrelevant Cincinnati is. We don't need to be optimistic about Cincinnati on Optimism Wednesday. Good morning, AJ. Birthdays being celebrated today. The great Josh Malkak celebrating a birthday. Anthony Spezial, happy birthday. The great Paul Lee, happy birthday. Karen Anson Licciardello, happy birthday. My apologies to Karen. The sister of my childhood best friend, the great Nick Anson. Andrew Gardner, happy birthday. Craig Atkins, David Carrillo, Butch Waugh, the great Butch Waugh. Kelly Jenkins, John Nichols, happy birthday. If today's your birthday, you celebrate like hell. If it's not your birthday, you celebrate somebody else. That's best done with an honest and specific compliment. Lift people up. Subscribe, like, ring the bell. We're going to talk to you at about 4 o'clock today inside Indiana Sports Now. The glory of Optimism Wednesday continues. We're going to find reasons to be positive about everybody. You have a great day. Thank you.